Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey kids, it's time for another Just Another Fanboy Classic episode. This week we're taking you back in time to episode number 34 of Volume 1 of Just Another Fanboy, which would have been posted on or around April 20th, 2007. So there you go. Enjoy! You're listening to Just Another Fanboy, the new and improved podcast with the high-speed internet connection. Just Another Fanboy is a Lynx Broadcasting production and a proud member of the Comics Podcasts Network. Just like a comic book! 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 Welcome to episode number 34 of Just Another Fanboy. I'm your host, Steven.
And I'm the loving and devoted Mrs. Fanboy.
That's my wife.
I'm Karen.
She looks nice.
Thank you.
How you doing?
I'm okay. Yeah. How are you doing?
A little stressed.
A little stressed.
I've been feeling poorly the past couple days, which seems to be of norm.
It's just an ongoing saga with you.
Well, I haven't been taking my vitamins.
Well, shame on you.
We just started a vitamin regimen.
Regime.
And I kind of stopped the last few days because, you know, we have that little... Those little
days of the week
pill thing. Yeah. And I ran out and I just haven't
refilled it.
It's like I go to my pill sorter and I just go, oh, no.
Well, because it's like
93 vitamins we have
day.
To take.
Well, there's a few. So it does take some organize. You have to set aside some time and plop them all in there and open up all those bottles. So yeah, it's kind of a pain, but I suppose that's kind of lazy.
Well, yeah.
Of course, I haven't been taking mine since the first day we got them. I'm lame.
But, you know, the reason I'm kind of stressed is, you know, we've signed up for the DSL.
Oh, so it's not just stress because you're not feeling good.
Oh, well, that's probably a little part of it because, you know, generally I'm somewhat of a healthy person, you know, to a certain extent.
Yes. And your recent physical and all your lab work proves that.
I rarely take a sick day for myself.
No.
You know. When I'm sick.
You always call in sick because you... And I'm saying that because that's how you call in. Even when you're not sick, you always act like you are.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not coming in today because I'm sick.
But, you know, I rarely call
in sick. Monty Python Marathon. Yeah.
But the past few weeks, I've had like 4 sick days for myself. And it just angers me because I'm going to run out of sick time for the year.
Yeah, you are.
And I started this new job and they're going to... I don't want to get... Give them the impression that I'm this sickly man who's going to be calling in sick all the time.
I know.
But that has
Well, and I think a couple of those have been simply really late nights of doing this that you've had to come home. I mean, you're sick feeling the next day because you're exhausted because you stay up late working on this and then you have to get up very early, earlier than the rest of us.
Yes.
And it's hard to make it through that second half of the day. I mean, it starts to wear on you, hon.
Yeah.
We always say we're going to start this sooner, but it's what? It's like 9:30. And so, but anyway, yes, that leads into why you're stressed as well.
But before I get into the DSL, to appease my brother, who made a comment last week about how we're 40 minutes into the show and haven't even talked about comics yet.
Ooh, that was like a really good Cartman.
That was my Cartman. I wanted to talk about a couple books I just got from the local library. A couple of trades that just came in the mail because my library is awesome that way. They send
them
to me through
the
mail. I've got the Fantastic Four Books of Doom. This collects issues 1 through 6 of the Books of Doom. It's written by Ed Brubaker, the man, penciled by Pablo Raimondi, and inked by Mark Farmer. I'm only a couple issues into it, but it basically tells the origin of Dr. Doom. One of my favorite villains.
Interesting.
Maybe I'll have a review of this.
I don't want to talk comics.
In the next couple of weeks. Well, too bad, lady.
Okay.
The other one I got was Batman Year 100. This is written by Paul Pope and with Jose. Yeah, I'm not even going to try that one. But I haven't started this one yet. Apparently, it's set in the future. But when the issues, yes, yes. And Simon looked at the cover and he kind of looked at it and I said, "Well, who is that, Simon?" And he kind of looked at it and I said, "That's
Rubia," because a double L is
I guess.
Yeah. So I'm guessing because a double L in Italian is something different.
I always
but Jose. I'm going to say is more Latino. So
yes.
Via Rubia. Rubia.
I always butcher. The
but
names.
You try. And, you, I wouldn't even try. And you well, always, and I, you always give it a go. And I'm,
I listen to,
I'm proud of you.
I listen to Comic Book Savant, which is another good comic book podcast. And he butchers names as well. And he always has to make a comment about how he's butchering names. And I feel for you, man, because I'm right there with you. I butcher them too.
But you guys but give it a go.
I got that one primarily because when the issues came out.
They need to spell them out phonetically.
Yes, they should. When the issues were being released, I was on a message board that Gail Simone posts at. I don't know if she posts there anymore, but she posted there at the time. And she was giving high praise to the Batman 100. So I'm happy to finally be giving it a try. I'll let you know how I liked it in the future.
You like it.
So there you go, David Cabela. There's some comics for you. Now
on to your stress.
My DSL stress. So we finally got the modem in the mail yesterday.
Woo!
And I was like, yay, yay. And so, you know, right away, of course, I come home and I'm feeling like crap.
Uh-huh.
You know, it felt like the onset of a really bad cold.
Ugh.
It was just an all over
achy, blah.
Achy. It was like a headache throughout my entire body.
Oh, honey.
But I saw the modem and I said, well, I want to get this hooked up because I knew that we were not doing the podcast last night,
right,
which, when we normally do. And I didn't want to mess with it tonight because we had to do this.
Right.
So I just wanted to get it done.
I know. You like to get it done.
And I spent like an hour and a half.
Fiddling.
Got it all hooked up. It wouldn't work.
Well,
so,
they had told us.
Well, yes. But
they wouldn't activate the internet service until Wednesday.
Yes. But they also told us that they wouldn't activate the phone service until like 5 days after I called. And they had it activated the day after.
Right. But
so I thought I'd give it a try, but it didn't work. And I called. No. The nice little recording said, your DSL is not going to be activated until Wednesday by 8 p.m.
Oh.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, whatever. And so I was a little stressed about that. And then I decided I'm going to bed. You know,
yeah, you went to bed early.
Around 7 o'clock, I went to bed. Simon was still awake.
Mm-hmm.
He tends not to stay up late on a school night. But
he did not. He was wired, nowhere near ready for sleep.
Yes.
He had just been getting up and down and up and down and up and down. So
his room is connected to our room, and I went in and told him I was going to sleep and not to bother me. I lay down. I'm in bed for maybe 3 minutes, and he comes running in. Daddy, 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 help, help, daddy, help.
Yep.
I was like, what do you need, bud? What do you need? He goes, help find the car. He was playing with all his Matchbox cars, and a few of them had fallen behind the dryer.
Yeah.
And so I'm standing in his room in my boxer shorts, trying to reach between the bookshelf that's next to the dryer.
Oh, my. I can picture you doing that.
Trying to get these dang cars out of there. And it looked like there were three, but I could only reach two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get the two of them out. I hand them to him, and he starts counting all his cars. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And he gets done counting. I said, is that all of them? And he just kind of goes, ooh. I said, all right, well, if you need any more help, you ask your mom because I'm going to sleep. I'm sick. I'm not feeling good. So I lay back down. As soon as my head hits the pillow, boom, he comes running back out. Daddy, 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 help, help, daddy, help. I said, buddy, you need to go ask your mom. So he runs off to ask you. Thunk, 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 thunk. I hear his footsteps through the house. Thunk, 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 thunk. So I'm laying there and I start to drift off to sleep. Thunk, 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 thunk. And he comes running back in. Daddy, 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 daddy. It's like, what, buddy, what? And roll over, wiping the sleep from my eyes because it might have been 15 minutes, but I'd finally fallen asleep.
Yeah.
Well, buddy, what's going on? He goes, I go to grocery store.
Oh, yeah.
What?
He was already in his SpongeBob pajamas.
Yes.
You know, he were letting him stay up, but in his room. He could stay up, but he'd have to play quietly in his room. And then since he was up, and I needed my oldest, Abby, who's 19, to run to the grocery store and pick up a couple of things, which, you know, if there's any reason not to let your kids move out of the house when they get to a certain age, it's because they're really great errand runners.
Yeah.
Abby, go to the store. Okay. And she does. And she said, can I take Simon? And since he was wide awake, I was like, sure. So we got him out of his SpongeBob jammies and put him in some, I thought it would wear him out, kill some time, wear him out a little bit, which it did. But put him in his little sweats and his tinny shoes, and off they went to the store.
Well, but as he's telling me that he's going to the grocery store, he's about, I don't know, waist high to the bed. And he's just inches from me because I'm laying there right on the edge of the bed. He's inches from my face, and he tells me he's going to the grocery store. I said, all right, good for you. I still haven't quite decided if I'm actually dreaming this or not. And he turns around to run into his room, and it's at that point that I noticed he's not wearing any pants.
No, he was bare-bottomed.
His little bare bottom is just inches from my face.
Because I was in the process of getting him out of his jammies and into his clothes to go to the store, and I think I must have said, go get some socks or something from your room. And so you had a little discussion with him, and he was naked, bare bottom from the waist down.
Naked.
Of course, you can't really be bare bottomed from the waist up, but
that's what we call it in Kansas. Naked.
Naked.
N-E-K-K-I-D. He was all naked. And so, what? Like an hour later,
an hour or so later,
they get home, and I'm of course in deep slumber, and I wake up to the sound of you saying something to him.
I'm hollering at him
because I wake up to the sound of thump, 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 and you're like, no, don't, you know? Like,
be gentle, be easy.
And then I hear, daddy. And I turn over, and he's hovering above my face show me the big Batman that he had gotten from the store.
Yeah, picking up one of those big Batman.
Yeah, it's like 10 inches tall, 12 inches tall.
About 12 inches to match his Hot Girl, his Green Arrow, and his Superman.
Yeah.
So now we're getting a nice collection of the big action figures, not just the little ones.
And what did he...
And I think they're more, you know, for display purposes, because they don't do a lot of bending and stuff. But
you would think something that big would have more points of articulation.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
But it's more just for display.
But they look sweet.
They do.
And what had he said to you?
Well, when I was getting him back into his jammies to go back to bed, he was like, he really, really wanted to wake you up and show you his new Batman. And I said, no, honey, daddy's sick. Daddy doesn't feel good. Daddy's asleep. Daddy's sleeping. And he said, he's like, you know, I whisper and I get his attention, because getting your attention is a social skill
that he
learned in preschool, because that's one of the things, you know, social skills are hard for or impossible for some children with autism. So he's learned to get someone's attention by tapping them on the shoulder and looking them in the eye and saying their name. So he says, but I whisper and I get his attention. I said, it was just too cute. I said, okay.
And I didn't learn about this until today when you emailed that to me at work, and that made my day.
Right. But as soon as I'm like, okay, you're in your jammies, let's go. Boom, 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 boom. He takes off running instead of being gentle and whispering to get your attention. I thought he was just going to jump on the bed and poke your eye out with the very, very sharp, pointy Batman ears. So I shouted out as he was running ahead of me, no, Simon, be gentle, be gentle, be easy. And that's what you heard, which is what woke you up. The next thing you know, he's on top of you saying, I got a new Batman. And you're probably thinking you're dreaming.
Again, I wasn't sure if I was dreaming or not. But
he was so excited to show you that.
Well, and speaking of making my day.
Yeah, what?
There's been this song, and I've posted about it over on the boards. The song that I've been trying to download. I've been trying to find. Of course, I didn't search too heavily. I looked in iTunes and I looked in Yahoo Music. But the song from my youth, back in the 90s, there was an album called Stairway to Heaven, Highway to Hell, which a bunch of metal bands from the era had. It was a tribute album. They had like Ozzy Osbourne doing Purple Haze. I think Bon Jovi did Boys Are Back in Town. But the one that I wanted was Moby Dick, which is an old Led Zeppelin song, which always, apparently when they did it live, I don't know the song from the original Led Zeppelin song, never heard it. But apparently it was the one that they always did the big drum solo on. John Bonham did his drum solo. And so the group that does it on the album, this tribute album, they call themselves Drum Madness, because there's three drummers. That's one is Jason Bonham, which is John Bonham's son. Another is Tico Torres from Bon Jovi, and I can't remember the third one. But ultimately, you've got three drummers playing on this song. One comes out of the right speaker, one comes out of the left speaker, and one smack in the middle. And
yeah, I bet you dig that.
Oh, the drums just pounding. It's awesome. And I've been trying to look for it, and I happened to mention it just out of the blue. I had kind of given up on it. Out of the blue, I mentioned it to a dude at work today, and he goes, I've got that album. Set on tape? I got it on CD. I'll bring it in for you tomorrow. And I was like, yay, yay! So that, and I...
That
you know,
made your day, for sure.
I told him, I shan't sleep in anticipation.
In anticipation.
So maybe I'll throw a little of that on next week's podcast.
Be cool.
A little drum madness.
Share the love.
So let's talk about Simon's Secret Sound.
Okay.
For those coming in late, every 2 weeks at Simon's Preschool, they have a certain regimen, I guess, regime that they, you know, they have certain books that they always read for those 2 weeks. It's a theme.
It's a theme.
Right. And they also, to teach them letters and the letter sounds, they have the secret sound. It's always a different letter every 2 weeks.
Right.
And he'll come home with his little sheet of paper to tell us, you know, what's
in. Which we don't get, like, till the end of the first week. So we don't even necessarily know what it is, you know. Well, I guess I could just ask him.
Huh. Yeah, and we usually do. When we know it's the start of another 2 weeks, we ask him, what's your secret sound?
But we lose track.
And he'll say, you know, like, you know, for, and then, oh, that's an S. And then the first thing I do is always say, okay, so what words start with S?
We do now. Yeah. Right.
You started on it like Superman, you know, Shazam, you know, all the comic book characters. And so a few episodes back, we mentioned this and mentioned that when we get a new secret sound, we're going to post it and talk about it and everybody can help us come up with new ones. So the latest one is the letter R.
Right.
And the only one that, well, you could come up with, because I couldn't come up with it either, was Robin.
Robin from Batman and Robin and the Rhino, which I wouldn't have known of until you just recently bought him, that action figure that you spoke about last week or the week before. So, yeah, I knew those two.
And then
it was a blank.
You posted about it on the board.
Yes, I did.
CGSpodcast.com/forum,
yes,
number 2.
I did.
You can also find that just by going to the justanotherfanboy.com website and clicking on the link that says my message board. But the only one to respond was listener by the name of Modern Lover.
And the only one who needed to respond was
he gave us quite a few. We've got Red Skull, Ronan, Rick Jones, The Ray, Resurrection Man, Runaways, Red Bee, and Red Tornado.
And then the Red Tornado I remembered after I read that.
And I should have known Red. I knew Red Bee, I have no idea who that is. But the rest of these, I should have known.
Rick Jones? Is that what it was?
Rick Jones.
Is that a real name?
Yeah, he's a Marvel character.
Yeah, but I mean, what's his?
His name is Rick Jones. That's his name.
Oh, okay.
He has been a superpowered character at one point for a little while, but he's normally known for, he's the guy guy that caused Bruce Banner to get caught in the gamma bomb and turn himself into the Hulk.
Okay.
So he's closely related to the Hulk comics.
Yeah.
But
we appreciate that feedback. That was awesome. I can't wait to find out what the next sound will be and get some more.
Thank you, Modern Lover.
Modern Lover has a lot to live up to.
Yes.
To throw that mini out again next week. So
this is
what we're going to be counting on.
Yeah, because this is week 2, isn't it?
Right.
Okay.
So
next week we'll have another one.
We'll have a new one next week. And I'll try to find out what that is ahead of time. I did want to just say that we're taping on Wednesday rather than Tuesday because originally I have a friend who had a baby and I was going to travel to get not too far, about an hour away or so, to visit her and the new baby at home. And I would have had to leave as soon as you got home from work. And then, I had to stop and get a gift and then go on to her house where you visit for a while. And by the time I got home, it would have been way too late to try to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get to do any of that because
we had a plumber over.
Because we had a bad leak under the sink.
Yes.
Which turned out to be a much bigger problem than we originally thought.
Oh, yes.
Also had a
three-figure problem.
In the bathroom.
Yes.
Which he fixed as well, but the plumber was still here when you got home from work, and I wasn't about to leave you single-handed with the plumber and trying to keep three little ones out of his hair and get ready for dinner and bedtime and all that. So I didn't go, but by the time the plumber left, it was still too late for me to get out of the house. And so basically, we took the night off from podcasting for nothing.
Yeah, well, I went to bed
early,
because I felt like excrement.
That was good that you got to sleep. And I apologize to my loving in-laws, your parents, for the cost that was involved. There are homeowners. We're the renters.
Yes, but they were.
And
they understand because this house is over 100 years old.
Yeah, it's a very old house and things will break down. But it's great having your in-laws or your parents as your landlords because, they're not really going to say no to things that need to be done. They're not going to
a good landlord is not going to say no.
Right, but you'll have to wait your turn.
We've had our fair share of landlords.
Yeah. So that's good that, you know, pretty much if you say you need it done and it's necessary, go ahead, you know.
And
it's not like I have to wait for, you know, she's like, well, call a plumber, you know, not like, well, you have to call this plumber. very open about it. The bad, the flip side, the negative to that is that there's the guilt that comes with knowing that your own parents are having to shell out this kind of money for the house that you live in when you pay next to nothing for rent.
Well, like, but ultimately, though, that's
what we pay them in rent doesn't even cover the expenses for the year, I'm sure. But
you know, that's ultimately
we
that's,
love them,
and that's why we rent, because
we
if
couldn't
we were
afford to fix our own stuff.
First of all, we couldn't afford a house payment.
Probably
secondly,
not.
if we owned this house and that happened, we'd just have to deal with a big hole in the bottom pipe of our sink.
That's right, because we don't have savings account and whatnot. But
had to do something about that.
Low rent.
We'll have to win that darn lottery.
Yeah, we just need to get the extreme home makeover people out here.
Or maybe I could.
But I'd have to break a leg or something.
Maybe I could get on Deal or No Deal.
I would love that.
Because I would not be like those greedy people who get on there.
You would
be on there. I'd open up my first six cases and they'd go, the banker's offering you $3,000. Deal. Boom.
Take it. Take it. After taxes, $1,500, still more than when you walked in. Very good. So the other thing though, thinking, okay, well, since it's Tuesday night, going to be home. You're in bed, not going to do the podcasting. It was all set to watch Boston Legal. And of course,
was it a rerun?
No. It was all, most shows at that hour were preempted.
Because of the Virginia thing.
Right, yeah. Which I think originally we were probably both thinking, let's take the David Letterman side of this, which is just say nothing because we're entertainers. It's not a news program. A lot of the late night TV hosts, you know, at least made mention of it. Mm-hmm. David Letterman didn't say anything. You know, and I thought that's how we would handle it. But, you know, if we have a listener in that area or someone who's connected to someone who's affected by it and they're listening, hopefully it'll do their hearts good to know that even us, you know, the fanboy and his wife here in Kansas, it's on our mind as well.
I just remind you what a crazy world we live in.
It's, you know, screwy.
We really haven't. As much progress and technology that we've made since, you know, the days of the old West, we really haven't made that much progress.
Not when it comes to just the wacko. I mean,
the violence and the wackos.
I don't know. But, there's not much you can say about it. I'm not even going to try other than, yes, we know. Yes, we're going to acknowledge it. And yes, we're thinking of everyone. So I didn't watch Boston Legal because of that. I don't know that I really watched those either because it had been all day, you know, with the news and stuff. So, but in regard to Boston Legal, I finally got all caught up.
You're caught up.
I caught up. I had a marathon this weekend. I kept myself very, very busy with tasks in the kitchen and just watched all the tapes on the little TV while I did the dishes and folded laundry and stuff. So I'm all pumped up about it again too. You know how last week I said I'm kind of a dropout?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I love that show.
Well, and that provided me with an opportunity to sit out here in the living room and get caught up on my Justice League Unlimited season 2 that I got from Netflix. That is a great cartoon. It's very sad that it's been canceled. Like 2 seasons into it, boom, it's gone. No more of those.
It
makes me very sad.
Because it needs James Spader, baby.
Yeah, I guess it does.
It needs James Spader
and Danny Crane.
Danny Crane. But, isn't that funny? I always call James Spader James Spader by his real name.
Yes.
And we always call Danny Crane, even though he's William Shatner.
William Shatner.
That's because
we should just start referring to him as TJ Hooker.
Okay. I never watched that.
I'm hoping for an episode of Boston Legal where he leaps onto the hood of a runaway car, because TJ Hooker did that quite a bit, apparently.
No way.
Yeah.
For real?
For sure.
For Rizzle.
But I tell you what, let me just say a couple things
speaking
here.
Speaking of talking like that, like Valley Girls,
oh, no.
Britney Spears has lost her mind.
Really?
Oh my God.
I think we knew that.
Yeah, I know, but I was holding out hope after the whole rehab thing, but you probably haven't seen it, but she had this really bizarre rant kind of thing with the paparazzi where she was just like, oh my God. You are all so smart and just believe everything you read because I'm stupid and you're smart. And my management totally knew what they were doing when they sent me to rehab. I mean, she was saying everything sarcastically. Hmm. And it says I'm pregnant again. And of course I am. And so she was really just being, come on, grow up already, girl. You have talent and you have skill and you have wealth and do something with it. Get your head out of your butt and live your life. Crying out loud, grow up.
I have one thing to say to Britney Spears.
Grow up.
No.
What?
Don't be a chachi.
Don't. She is a total chachi.
Let me,
No, let's not go there.
No, I just want to say this about if anybody listened to last week and said, what is a chachi?
You don't want to know.
Let me just say this. Think of Tommy Lee from the band Motley Crue. The only thing that keeps Tommy Lee from being a true chachi is that Tommy Lee is successful.
Yeah.
So.
And chachi's just
not.
Not.
Okay,
but
so.
Otherwise, yeah.
I do want to say a couple things about Justice League Unlimited because it is a great cartoon. Anybody who is even.
And Chachi owes us $50. From like how many years ago?
I don't know. Like
3 years ago?
3 years ago.
Sold we're never, the man your soul, basically.
We're never going to see
your
it.
Drums.
All right. Let's,
I'm
yeah.
sorry. Let's but just, let's, Chachi, let's, you owe me $50.
Let's not talk about
Listen.
It. Justice League Unlimited, cartoon, animated series. If you are even a minor fan of the DC Universe, you need to watch these cartoons because they are awesome. One of my favorite scenes from season two is an episode where Lex Luthor and the Flash, Wally West, switch bodies. It's like one of those, what is that, Freaky Friday?
Oh, I love that.
And so we've got Lex Luthor in the Flash's body.
That will never get old.
They never.
Can redo that
exactly.
every year for the rest of the existence of the world. And it's always going to be funny.
Lex Luthor is in the body of the Flash on the Justice League satellite. And first of all, the moment he realizes that he's in this body, he totally takes advantage of the Flash's powers and really throws a whooping down on the Justice League. Kind of shows you how really what the Flash can do. But at one point, he runs into a bathroom because all he wants to do is just get away off of the satellite. He can't figure out how to get off of the satellite. And at one point, he runs into the bathroom and he's looking at himself in the mirror and he says, well, at least I can find out who's under this mask.
Oh.
And he pulls and
dun,
there's
dun,
this
dun.
There's this moment when you're just like he's getting ready to pull the mask off and you're thinking, okay, somebody's going to burst into the restroom at some you know just mm-hmm. before he takes it off and stops him. But no, he gets the mask off and you're kind of like and he's looking at Wally West in the mirror and he just says, I have no idea who this is.
Oh, thank goodness.
It was funny. I enjoyed that. But yeah, Justice League, I do I recommend it highly. Highly.
Well, and that says a lot coming from the fanboy. Yeah.
I also was provided with the opportunity not only to catch up on those episodes, but Quantum Leap season two, baby.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I love that show.
It's very clever.
I think the best cute. Thing about that show is that Sam Beckett is truly a very good man. You know,
that's right.
You've got those episodes like he leaps into the body of this guy, newly married. He's on his honeymoon with this girl, and all mm-hmm. she wants to do is consummate their marriage. But Sam's not having any of it, you know, because it would not be right for him to do that. He's just a truly good man, and he needs to be admired
and
respected.
We could all learn a little something from him.
Yes, I love that show.
And from the Berenstain Bears. Gosh, seriously, Mama and Papa Bear have got it going on. They know what they're doing.
I read two Berenstain Bears books for the kids every single night. Of course, the last three nights in a row, it's been it's been the same two books the last three nights in a row, and I'm getting kind of sick of it.
Getting a little tired of it, are you?
I do, let's move on. I want to say a couple words about, one of my favorite websites out there, comics101.com. They're, back a couple years ago, Kevin Smith had started this website.
He never ran it, but again.
It was,
just marry him already. God.
I'm not gonna mention the URL. It's still out there, but it's kind of, I'm not gonna mention the URL.
Okay.
But, this guy, he had a lot of different people on there doing weekly columns from comic books to TV, you know, columns about comics to TV to movies to video games. And one of them on there was called Comics 101 by a guy named Scott Tipton. And the only time I would go to this website was every Wednesday when I knew that there would be a new Comics 101 article up. And it's just basically he would just spend, a column a week teaching you about comic book characters. You know, he did like 5 weeks on Superman and 5 weeks on the Justice League, you know, stuff like
That's
that. Really good
neat.
Stuff. So he's now has his own site, comics101.com. There are other columns on there. So if you want to read his stuff, just go to the website again, comics101.com and look for the Comics 101 logo and click on it. This week, and I'm going to move the microphone so I can look at the computer.
Okay, bye-bye.
Tell you what it's about here.
Hello.
Okay. So this week is Comics 101 in focus. Spidey of the Jungle. I'm going to read you the first two paragraphs real quick to get you kind of an idea of what's going on these. The Marvel Universe is a dark place for old Webhead these days. His identity, public knowledge, a fugitive from justice, and now his beloved Aunt May takes a gunshot wound to the abdomen. Wallop and web snappers. Spidey's life sucks. Granted, the fact that Spider-Man has rotten luck has always been integral to the character, but at least it used to be fun to read, and I have to agree with that. With the outlook dark for the web-slinger, and only getting darker in the days to come if the rumors I'm hearing are true, I thought it would be a good time to hop into the Wayback Machine to a time when Amazing Spider-Man wasn't afraid to serve up some goofy fun. Like what, you ask? How about Spidey fighting dinosaurs in the Savage Land alongside a bikini-clad Gwen Stacy? Now, that just sounds like fun. But it's a great place to go. He's got all his archives up there from previous articles. You could spend weeks just reading through all the stuff on there. It's very interesting. He does have a few articles up there that are very opinionated about what's going on in the comic book industry. And most times I do agree with him. He did one article actually back when, that issue of Amazing Spider-Man where we found out in a retcon that Gwen Stacy had slept with Norman Osborn. Yeah. He did a letter to, I think, Joe Quesada or J. Michael Straczynski, which was really interesting about that. But check it out, comics101.com. It's something that I read every week, and I think everyone else should be too. All right. There was something else. And that makes me think, because he makes the comment that Spider-Man used to be fun. And if you want to read a comic, a Spider-Man comic that's still fun, Spider-Man Unlimited. Ultimate Spider-Man. It's a great book. I don't get the issues. I've read them all in trades through the library, but issue 111 marks the debut of the new penciler, Stuart Immonen, and I've seen some preview pages up online, and it looks awesome, so I'm going to have to start picking that up. So I have to. I can't just add new titles without dropping something.
But, I'm so proud of you.
But maybe I'll drop because I'm currently getting Amazing Spider-Man, which isn't really doing anything for me. So I can drop that one and get Ultimate Spider-Man.
Okay, that's good trade.
All right.
Good trade-off. You guys said anything about Heroes? That's next week, right? Mm. Dun, dun, dun. I'm so
Heroes
excited.
Is next week. So starting next week, you can plan on hearing us talk about the latest episode each week.
I love that show.
So that
love
will
it.
Be full of spoilers.
You know, something that that interested me on like the newest commercial that I saw, it talked about how, you know, save the cheerleader, save the world. The first part of the prophecy, you know, has been taken care of. Now part two of whatever. Anyway, it made me think, I assumed all along they were saying save the cheerleader and
then save the world. No,
but I was always thinking save the cheerleader and that will help
world.
You save the yeah. world. Whereas now from what I heard, it sounds more like save the cheerleader, then go save the world. You know, like it's,
well, yeah,
you know, like by saving the cheerleader, you save the world eventually somehow. And I guess that's still,
well, and I think
true,
though, by saving the cheerleader, mm-hmm. it started a process of getting these heroes to a certain extent together. Because
right.
up until that point, most of them didn't know any of the rest of them existed.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
so Peter then meets Claire, and through that he meets Matt, the cop that can read minds. And
oh, yeah,
so
like
so
him.
They're all kind of getting together now.
Right.
So I think without unless, you know, if he didn't go save the cheerleader, they wouldn't all be
right.
coming together.
But my ears just always heard it as save
yeah.
the cheerleader and then that, you will save the world.
Yeah.
Whereas now, like I said, from that commercial, it sounded more like, you know, first go save the cheerleader, then go save
yeah,
the world.
By saving the cheerleader, you will save the world. Like,
yeah. Same thing, I guess. It's
yeah,
just when they talked about it on that commercial, my ears just perked up and I was like, huh, that's not how I thought they meant it. But
well,
it doesn't really matter.
It just felt like
I'm
the
just
whole
a peon non-fanboy from Kansas.
It just felt like the whole future that they kept showing with New York blowing up was somehow integral with
saving
her.
Right.
You know, like if you saved her,
That wasn't going to happen.
But
yeah.
That's not the case. So.
Not exactly, no. But I'm
right.
so excited.
Before we get into news, there's a little something I want to talk about. My boy Paul sent me a link to a story that I found kind of interesting. Menudo reforming
yeah.
For MTV reality series. The Puerto Rican boy band Menudo, which gave Ricky Martin his start, is coming back as part of an American Idol-style reality show. And this apparently will be actually aired on the Spanish version of MTV. We don't get any of the MTV channels, so we won't be able to watch
no.
it. But,
no.
Yeah.
Low
so
rent.
If you're a fan of the Menudo, there you go.
Did they do that Pass the Dochi song, or was that somebody else?
I don't believe that was Menudo.
I love that song, though. Anywho, But Menudo had some good stuff, too.
All right, well, let's do some news and information you could have easily gotten for yourself with just a little effort. First up, we have Incredible Hulk movie news. Edward Norton, according to Variety, has been set by Marvel Studios to play Bruce Banner in The Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
With an opening set for June 13th, 2008.
Trying to picture who that is. Who
Edward
is that?
Norton. Let me think. American History name. X, Fight Club.
Uh-huh, okay,
that's Edward Norton. He's going to be Bruce Banner.
Okay.
I'm looking forward
to that.
That
might work.
Yeah.
Don't let us down.
No, don't be a chachi. Next, on Jim Lee's blog, Jella Tometi, I think it's how it's pronounced. Jim Lee provides an update on the status of the very late All-Star Batman and Robin and Wildcats. And here's a quote by Jim Lee. Here's what I know. Issues 5 and 6 are done. Speaking of All-Star Batman and Robin, I'm knee-deep in issue number 7. Rather than come out with 5 when it was done, the decision was to hold up issues and stockpile them. So when they start coming out, there won't be any holdup between issues. Let's hope not. As far as Wildcats, I can't draw what I don't have a script for. So apparently he's putting that one straight on the head of Grant Morrison. Once I get back on track, I will let you know. My enthusiasm for both titles remains sky high. Last year was the toughest year for me personally, but fortunately things have lightened up this year, allowing me to return to the drawing table. Now, I have raised a stink now and again with the lateness of All-Star Batman and Robin, but you know, ultimately, when it comes down to it, don't really care, because it's not an in-continuity story. You know, other titles are not being delayed because of this, but dang, man, it has been like a year. I think there was one issue, if even that, that came out last year for All-Star Batman and Robin. So here's hoping we get some issues this year. I'm not getting it anymore, so it doesn't really matter. I have to wait for the trade. All right, next up, in a magnanimous gesture, Marvel Editor-in-Chief Joe Quesada has asked the organizers of the Eagle Awards to remove his name from nomination for favorite editor of this year's awards.
What?
I'll continue. Explaining his reasons for this decision, Quesada said, and in my years in the comics industry, I often found that whenever a Marvel Editor-in-Chief, which Joe Quesada is a Marvel Editor-in-Chief, was nominated for a Best Editor Award, they would almost always win. I always thought this rather unjust, as an EIC has an unfair advantage over line editors, as he was the person whose name was on all the books, and like everyone who has had this job, we tend to get way too much credit for the hard work of others. That is why in the past, when I have found myself nominated for Best Editor Awards, I have always asked for my name to be taken out of contention, as being editor-in-chief really requires no hands on editing, but rather global direction of the creative division of our publishing arm. So, I guess that was nice of him, but you know, it's like one of those things that, good for you, but, you know, do you really need to come out and announce, hey, you know, I'm such a good guy that I've taken my name off the list, you know?
Yeah, but
he doesn't have
also,
to issue a press release about
by,
it.
By winning, it is a compliment to all those beneath him that do work for him, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, the captain of one of those racing team ships or those sailboat races. You know, they hand the trophy to the captain, the guy who owns the boat, but it's everybody else who does the work, but they all win.
Well, but that would be like, in this case, it would be like them giving an award for the best pilot of a ship, giving it to the captain, who may never actually touch the steering wheel, you know,
right,
because he doesn't actually edit the books. So to give him an award for best editor doesn't make a lot of sense because he doesn't actually really edit the books.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying that, you know, a lot of these, let's say, you know, well, or a horse owner. They give a trophy to the owner of the horse who hires the jockey and buys the horse and hires the trainer. The horse wins, the whole team wins, but they give the award to the owner of the horse. So yeah. Every, you know, I don't know. I guess it would be
like when they give a best movie award to the producer or the director.
Right. It's a compliment to everyone involved.
So he
needs to rethink that.
I don't know. I guess so. Next up, Sony Pictures Home Entertainment will release the action-packed superhero box office hit Ghost Rider, which grossed over $200 million worldwide on DVD, Blu-ray disc, and PSP on June 12, 2007. Two versions will be released on DVD, the one-disc theatrical version and a two-disc extended cut with 15 minutes of never-before-seen footage and over 2 hours of special features. I like it when they do these extended cut. You know, 15 minutes, it better be a pretty important 15 minutes. But the 2 hours of special features, that might be kind of nice. Viewers will get a chance to go behind the action with the DVD bonus feature Spirit of Vengeance, The Making of Ghost Rider, which includes commentary with the director-writer Mark Steven Johnson, The extended cut also includes Sin and Salvation, which delves into the history of the Ghost Rider comics and how it became a hit. That's stuff I always find interesting on DVDs for comic book movies, when they actually talk about the comics themselves. I always enjoy that.
Yeah.
So the...
I'm sure you do.
Yes. The theatrical one disc...
My mind is wandering.
All right. The theatrical one disc DVD bonus feature includes the theatrical version of the film, Spirit of Vengeance, the Making of Ghost Rider documentary, and commentaries. The two-disc DVD will have the extended version, the same Spirit of Vengeance making a Ghost Rider, the Sin and Salvation, animatics, and film commentaries. All right.
All right.
So, yeah, I'll get that through Netflix. I'm not going to buy that one.
Okay.
Next up, Gail Simone named new Wonder Woman writer. Yeah, I'm going to have to start picking that one up now, too.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
We announced,
board or something.
Yeah, we talked about last week how she's been taken off of Birds. She's left Birds of Prey for an unnamed dream project. Well, it's Wonder Woman.
Cool.
So they haven't announced who the artist is as of yet, but I'm going to have to get it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you meant you have to get the job.
No.
I'm going to have to get it.
My stick.
Okay.
Draw some stick figures.
You do great stick figures.
Yeah, whatever.
But you do.
On DVD this week, Smokin' Aces, Happy Days Season 2 4-disc series, Laverne and Shirley Season 2 4-disc series, and Mork and Mindy Season 2 4-disc series.
And some SpongeBob thing.
Yeah, SpongeBob.
Cool.
Kids like the SpongeBob.
You know, I've been wondering, and I may have asked or mentioned this before, but when it comes to DVD releases, how many searches equal enough interest to put something out on DVD? Like, other than the ones that, okay, those were really popular, so obviously we're going to put those out. How do they decide? So, like, I mean, if every single day, 4, 5, 10 times a day, I key in, like, on Netflix, something I want to see, do you think that all gets totaled up somewhere where there a light bulb goes off in their head saying, hey,
I don't know. That's a good
there's
question.
A lot of interest in this particular movie. How many hits or searches for a movie do you think? I mean, who
that's a good question. If anybody
who
knows
makes
that,
those decisions. Where do you submit requests? Yeah. Or you know, is there
I know that there are certain websites out there. Like I can't think of any of the URLs off the top of my head, but they're dedicated to TV shows on DVD. And a lot of times, if there's certain TV shows that aren't out, that, you know, like the people who run the website want to have out, they'll start a petition. But yeah. I don't know how
but
ultimately
about like movies.
Oh, I think as far as the older movies that haven't been.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like that one I was talking about a couple of weeks ago, Wisdom with Emilio Estevez and Demi Moore. I love that. And I just wonder when I get to see it again.
I don't know. I don't know how movie studios decide.
Or there's this really great old black and white called Westward the Women, which is like an old, you know, Old West sort of thing. And I look for that one too. And, you know.
So if there are any listeners out there who know
where you can submit requests,
what a man or woman can do to get a DVD out, let us know.
Yeah.
All right.
How do you do that?
How do we do that? So that's your news.
Well, you know what? I have one more thing.
Okay.
And I can't think of it off the top of my head exactly. But my sister sent me an email that said something about how the time and the dates on the on May 6th are at what, 3:04 after 2, the time and date will be 02, 03, 04, 05, 06, 07.
That's cool.
Isn't that cool?
That's cool.
That's kind of neat. And that's like the only time that that's going to happen in anybody's lifetime here that's listening. So
let's have a party.
Let's have a party. Let's see if all the computers die.
Weird.
Let's see if it's, that should be kind of cool. So it's like 02. I guess you get it. Never mind.
Yeah.
You know, 2:00 and 3:04 of May the 6th of 07.
Weird.
Interesting stuff there, I gotta tell you.
All right, so that's your news. So let's do my comic book picks of the week. Okay, this week I've got a couple of good ones for you. This has been a really good shipment for me from the DCBS because a lot of great books came out the first 2 weeks of April. That's what I got in the old by DHL. The first one I want to talk about is from Marvel Comics. This is Avengers: The Initiative, issue number 1. This is written by Dan Slott. The artist is Stefano Caselli. The colorist is Danielle Rudoni. The letterer is Virtual Calligraphy's Joe Carmagna. The assistant editor is Molly Laser, and the editor is Tom Brevoort. This is a book I picked up on a whim, okay? And frankly, I'm very glad I did, because I really enjoyed this book. Ultimately, this just tells the tale of after post-Civil War in the Marvel Universe, Tony Stark had this idea, his initiative, which is to have a government-sponsored superhero team in each of the 50 states in America. And this is the boot camp where they're training these heroes. And basically what you've got is a bunch of characters that ultimately they've created for this book. And they're going through boot camp. And it was very entertaining. And I'm not going to spoil it for you, but one of the characters dies at the end. And I was very upset about it, because in the space of this one issue, I liked the person. I was like, this...
You'd already fallen in love.
Well, this... I was really enjoying what little they show to this character, and then boom, they kill the person.
Yeah, that's...
But...
That's how they get people.
The death of this character sets it up, I guess, sets up something for the series, because one of the doctors that they have on staff says that he's finished the autopsy and has discovered something which is most disturbing. Something which may change everything.
Wow.
So... That's the last page, and you're like, oh my goodness gracious, where's this going? You know, it's a very good...
So are these people, they're all in boot camp,
mm-hmm.
but they all have superpowers?
Yes.
Okay. So they've been located in, kind of like on Heroes. Like, somebody has gone to the trouble to find all of these people.
Yes.
And then ask them if they want to be part of this protection.
And the first half of the issue is them introducing these various characters. And... The boot camp is run by, we've got a War Machine, which is like an Iron Man knockoff. Hank Pym is there, and Justice is there. I think that's the dude's name. But it was really good read. I'm looking forward to the next issue.
I could read that one.
And though I enjoy, you probably would enjoy it, because there are all these characters that you're just learning about for the very first time.
Exactly.
So
I could get into something brand new.
Maybe we'll have you read that, and we'll talk about it more in depth next week. All right.
Because I didn't read anything for you this week.
Yeah. And I tell you, because I enjoy most of the time every comic I get. If I don't, I end up dropping them. And I tend not to talk negatively towards any of the comics, because like my mom said, if you ain't got nothing good to say, don't say it. But this is one of those issues that I was very happy I picked it up, because I really enjoyed it. So I haven't felt that way since Justice Society of America number 1. So
wow.
All right. Next up, we've got Justice League of America number 7. This is written by Brad Meltzer, pencils by Ed Benes, inks by Sandra Hope and Ed Benes, letters by Rob Lay, colorist is Alex Sinclair. The assistant editor is Adam Schlagman, and the editor is Eddie Braganza. This is the epilogue to The Tornado's Path, and this is the issue that we have. Basically, this is the first issue we have the official Justice League of America together, and there's not really a lot of action in this issue. This is, like I said, it's just an epilogue, but this is when we officially have the name change of Arsenal going over to Red Arrow, and he's wearing a costume very reminiscent to the Green Arrow costume.
Hmm?
Yeah, another R. Yeah.
Yay.
It's very reminiscent of the Green Arrow costume, except for it's red, and he doesn't have a hood or a hat. He's decided to not use the
Simon hat. Wanted to know what the pack was called.
It's a quiver.
Ugh.
It's a quiver of arrows.
As I just told him, that was his arrow backpack.
Yes. Because
he said, is that a backpack? And I said, yeah.
To a certain extent.
Okay, but I didn't know if there was an actual word, because he wanted to know.
Yeah.
It's the quiver. I thought the quiver was the little feathers.
No, it's the fletching. That's what it's called.
You're using too many big words. That's like the plumber yesterday. You need a new flange. What?
Okay.
What? Flange?
No, I'm not paying for it.
Didn't Phoebe always, her last name was always
Phalange.
Something Phalange.
Regina Phalange. Phalange. Yeah.
So, that's what I thought of.
One of my favorite parts in the entire issue, though, is
because that's
when
how I roll.
Yes.
Sorry.
That's
here we go again.
Oh, no.
Caffeine is finally kicking in.
One of my favorite parts of the entire issue is when they unveil the new Justice League Hall, their new headquarters. They actually have two headquarters. One is a satellite, which is kind of their main headquarters, but one is an Earth-based headquarters, which is there for the public. It's got a museum in it, and it looks like the Hall of Justice from the superhero cartoon.
It's almost as slick looking as the police station at CSI Miami.
That's right.
Very big and fancy. Lots of windows.
They got a lot of money on CSI. driving around in Humvees. good Lord.
Anyway, sorry.
But again, not a lot happened in this issue. There's a really great three-page spread of the entire team. Their photograph with photographs behind them of other teams. This
can't
would be
use it as a poster because
no, I'd have to buy another issue and just take it out and hang it on the wall.
Look at Hot Girl. Simon would love that. She's looking at all kinds of queer.
Red Arrow has a little crush on Hot Girl. It was a funny moment in one of the previous issues because Green Arrow has always had a thing for Black Canary,
right?
And he's always called her his pretty bird.
Aww.
And so the first time Red Arrow sees Hot Girl, he just goes, "Pretty bird." And I was like, that's awesome. That's awesome. That's going to be a good story element to play with. But it ends with a little cliffhanger, which is going to lead us into the crossover, the big JSA-JLA crossover, which I'm really looking forward to. I'm glad I'm already getting both of those titles, because if I was just getting one, I'd be pretty upset. So those are my picks of the week. Both really good. Some great issues, like I said,
one
came out
that
for the.
I might read.
Yeah, these are from, I believe, the first week of April.
You've sold me.
Yeah.
You did a great job.
JLA, I think you'd really enjoy. Next week, we'll talk about the books that came out in the second week of April. One book I didn't mention that came out in the first week of April is Dark Tower, Gunslinger Born, issue number 3. And I'm going to kind of skip those each month because it's pretty much a given that they're going to be one of my picks of the week. So I think I'm just going to wait until I get all 7 issues and maybe do an episode about the series itself.
That's a good idea.
Because it's a really awesome series. I do want to say that one thing about Dark Tower Born that I'm slightly disappointed in. If anybody's reading the series and they've read the Dark Tower books, I was under the understanding going into this that, yes, we were going to be reading a story about Roland's past. But I was under the understanding that would be a story that we have not yet heard. But so far, it's straight out of Wizards in Glass, one of his novels. But I don't care because the art is freaking amazing. And the guy who is adapting it, Peter David, is doing a great job. You know, if you didn't know any better, you'd really think that Stephen King has written it himself. So, and they always have some nice features in the back of the books that let you learn more about the world that Roland and his fellow gunslingers live in. So those are my picks. Oh, and Madman came out second week of April.
We're all excited.
And you're going to, and I will be talking about Madman every month. It's going to be mandatory Madman.
Ooh, I like that.
This month.
You're so clever.
This month, as soon as I can get it worked out with the guys from Raging Bullets, now that I got the DSL and can get on the Skype, they're going to come on the episode by way of Skype. And we're going to talk about the first issue of Madman.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So I'm not going to mention anything about it now, but we'll talk about it maybe next week. Maybe I can get together with those guys next week, hopefully. If not, we'll talk about it at some point.
As long as they're not
coming
over.
No, they will not be coming over. I don't think they can afford the airfare.
Still looking at that same cobweb up there in the corner.
That's right. Okay.
Okay.
Those are my comic book
picks of the week.
What do we got next here?
What do we have next? Yeah.
Well, ask the fanboys. We got a question submitted.
Yeah.
Also, Modern Lover submitted this question. You ready for it?
Yes, go ahead.
This kind of epitomizes what I was going with the Ask the Fanboys, because I don't want people to, it's not that I don't want people to ask me comic book questions, because you're welcome to ask anything at all, but if you wanted to ask a totally off-the-wall, non-comic book related question, you're more than welcome.
That's right.
And so that's why I'm reading this one.
Just don't ask how old I am.
He asks, are you now, or have you ever been, a member of the Communist Party? No.
Duh.
No. But it's funny because
Net.
Net. Ooh,
so
gotcha.
Funny.
Gotcha. As Michael Palin would say, net. Ooh, what a giveaway. But my employer, who I've been working there since December, I learned something new about that place every day. And probably within the first month, somebody was talking about going to a meeting. And I said, oh, yeah, you're going to a meeting. What's the meeting? Oh, it's a PRC meeting. And I just kind of froze. And I said, what? because this place is their management style is radically different from the place I worked at for 9 years. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, the PRC, because the first thing that popped into my mind was People's Republic of China.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm like, you're, what is a Communist Party meeting? What's no, it's the crap. And now I can't remember. It's the Positive Reinforcement Committee. And I just kind of went, well, you do understand that PRC is the People's Republic of China. Oh, yeah, I don't care.
I don't care.
I found that was funny.
So. That was funny, honey.
But hey, modern lover, never been a communist.
Never have been.
Don't plan on being one.
No, don't plan on it. Good question.
Good question.
Good question.
Keep
good
them
question.
Coming. If you want to submit
good answer.
A, good answer. Good answer. If you want to submit a question to the fanboys and the fangirl.
I'm not a fangirl.
You're the Mrs. Fanboy?
I'm the Mrs. Fanboy. Okay.
You can go to the message board. I give the URL out at least 9 times every episode, but the easiest way to get there is just go to justanotherfanboy.com and click on the link on the left-hand side of the website that says My Message Board. And that'll take you right into our forum. You'll see the topic pinned that says Ask the Fanboys. Register and ask. If you don't want to register, send us an email, justanotherfanboy@gmail.com. Put in the subject line, Ask the Fanboys.
You need to do a little update on your Just Another Fanboy, because you click on the thing and it says meet the hosts, and mm-hmm. I'm not on there. Norman and Gary and you.
I do need to.
Yeah,
I do
you
need
do.
Update.
I thought, right. What has he said about me?
I'll work on that.
Because you never asked me for my bio.
I'll work on that.
And I thought you'd come up with something clever, and no, I'm not there, so I guess I'm still officially just a sidekick. Mm. I know my place.
Sorry. Okay, so... All right.
Ooh, okay. That was awkward. See,
that moment of silence was brought to you by the awkward Communist Party.
All okay. Righty.
You want to do some listener's feedback?
Please. I like that part.
Listener's feedback. Okay. This week we have some more comments from the message board. Because ain't nobody sending in no emails. Ain't nobody calling the voice line.
Come on, voice line people. Kevin, Heather, yes. Heather's mom.
Come on.
We miss you.
The number now is part of the show notes again. So if you miss it at all during the episode, just look at the show notes
just
at justanotherfanboy.com.
Say anything.
You'll find the number. Okay, the first one we got today is from MGuy1977. He says, tell your wife thanks for the Swiffer plug, as I hate to use a vacuum cleaner. Being single and no wife, girlfriend to do the cleaning up for me in my apartment.
Oh.
Hopefully this will do the trick for me. Hulk and Right Guard, World War Hulk approved. Plus, it was announced on Newsarama that Gail Simone will be writing Wonder Woman starting with issue number 13. Duh, we've already talked about that. Thanks for the show, Matthew.
Yeah. Pick up that Swiffer. It's orange. And remember, it's got no batteries or electricity. It's usually on your cleaning.
It's like the new and
store.
It's like the new and improved version of those little push things that we used to always have.
Yeah,
back in
the 70s.
Grade school, they used to, and they never seemed to work.
Oh, yeah, just a carpet sweeper that you just run. It's perfect.
Yeah,
I looked for those, and they don't make them anymore, apparently. And this is a great, great replacement.
Next comment we have is from Cabela, my bro. Finished the episode now, and it was great. I don't know if he actually said it with that accent. It's great.
He probably did.
Finished with the episode now, and it's great. Gonna go have a pint. Oh, I love you, boy. Okay, finished with the episode now, and it was great. I like the snarkiness. So glad you are finally getting high speed. Woot! Time for some MMORPGs. I don't think so.
What is that?
That is massively multiplayer online role-playing game.
Oh my gosh, no.
No, don't think so. I don't have time. I don't even have time to play Pac-Man.
Yeah.
Okay?
You don't. Have time to in real life to do anything,
exactly.
Let alone a pretend life. But hey, if you're into that, have at it.
If you are into those things, you should read Tad Williams' book, Otherland. Great book. Anyway, that's all I'm going to say. He goes on to say, and I don't get the celebrity fascination either. Fakes and weasels, as far as I'm concerned, but I'm fascinated with computer MMOs and comics, so tit for tat.
Tit for tat.
He says, let's hear Abby on here. Why? Why not? And I do plan on having Abby on.
She asks a lot. I think
she does.
She would
and
really
I actually
that's,
gave
that's
her
my 19-year-old.
I gave her my copy
whose
of
Uncle David still doesn't know how to spell her name right, but
I
that's
know.
Okay.
What a loser. What a loser. Anyway, I just lost a listener, my brother. I can hear him shutting off the episode
click.
Right now. But I do plan on having her on. I actually let her borrow my copy of The Dark Knight Returns, which actually I think used to be David's copy.
Aww.
Sucker's 20 years old.
Keeping it all in the family. But, keeping it real old.
As soon as she finishes it, I'm going to have her on, and we're going to talk about Dark Knight Returns.
Oh, she'd love that.
Yeah. I told her that when I gave her the book
okay.
3 weeks ago.
Well, she's a very busy girl.
Okay, so let's hear some more comics reviews, older comics reviews, and maybe some comic movie reviews.
That's a good idea.
I would love to do, honestly, I would love to do more comic reviews. I would love to do reviews of older comics. I would love to do reviews of comic book movies. There's just not a lot of time in the week.
Yeah.
You know, to really collect your thoughts and write something intelligent down so you, I don't just say, a
maybe
lot.
Maybe he could do that.
Maybe he could.
Maybe David could be our, like, a columnist. I mean, he wouldn't necessarily have to come and read it, but he could write it and send it to you and you could read his review, maybe. Especially of the maybe. Older ones. Because he's very
he's
into,
got a lot of old books,
into
yeah.
the nostalgia.
And I,
he
you
likes
know.
The old ones from the days of yore.
Well, and every once in a while, I'll go through all my back issues and pull some stuff out thinking, all right, I'm going to read this and I'm going to talk about it on the episode, on an episode because, you know, like my Secret Wars trade paperback. And I recently pulled out of the box, the Millennium limited series from DC, which I read the first issue and I just said, I'm not going to be able to get through the rest of this. It was so, I don't want to say horrible, but it was just hard to get through. But I would like to do that stuff in the future. It's just finding the time during the week to A, read or watch the stuff, and then B, collect my thoughts to actually talk about them. So
yeah,
it will happen.
I mean, it's one thing to give a basic review. Well, that's like the gentleman who suggested that I should read Sabrina while I'm taking my mm-hmm. week, my off week, you know, take my break and take my 2 hour bubble bath and read Sabrina and then give a review. I need to, can do that, but I'm not sure exactly how to give a review other than saying I really liked it or I didn't like it.
And also to give a review of Boston Legal.
Oh yeah. Well, no, I actually, cause that's what I said last week. But he actually meant read Sabrina and then give a review. And I said, I need to give a review of Boston Legal because I'll take my 2 hour bubble bath like every fourth mm-hmm. week or whatever. So I misquoted him kind of.
Okay.
But anyway, so yeah, I would like to pick that up because he's mentioned it a couple of times and you got to respect somebody who pushes right. it that much. So.
All right. Next up is, from.
And then I'll try to review it, although I'm not sure how to do that, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not
you sure. can't do any worse than I do.
Oh, you do a great job, baby.
Next up is a comment from the boards by a listener by the name of Dang It.
Dang It.
They say, hey, I'm a loot, I'm lewd and crude with a bad attitude. He's a wrestler.
No. Blooper.
Hey, I'm a new listener, but you guys have me hooked.
Yay.
I love your banter and you really have a unique dynamic for a comic book podcast. Most comic podcasts are a guy or a group of guys, or in the case of Birds of Geek and I Read Comics, all female podcasters. So listening to your show is very refreshing and very real. I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciate the work you put into your show and how much fun you have with it. You can really hear how much you truly enjoy talking about comics, movies, People Magazine, your kids, action figures, etc. Anyway, keep it up and I'll keep listening.
Thank you. That was really great.
Very sincere. I love it when I get a new listener.
Yeah. And
and I can't remember the guy's username, but they posted that they were a new listener.
Yeah.
And they said so far they've listened to episode number one.
And I love it.
Yeah. Cause I was like, all right, a new listener. And I'm reading their comment and it said, so far I've listened to episode number one. I went, ew.
But then you ruined it because you told him you might want to listen to our latest stuff because we've changed a bit since then. I thought, no, let him, you know, just don't discourage him from listening to everything.
Yeah, just keep listening to them all. You'll just get to it gradually and you'll go, this stuff rocks.
Yeah.
But episode number one was stinky. Of course, I think any podcaster out there is going to tell you their first episode was stinky.
It took you hours because you were so concerned about editing and all that. I just like, the way he said, apparently we have something out there that, or we have something that isn't already out there. And I didn't really realize that. So that makes us, makes you feel good.
To the extent, male, female, there was I think they're still out there. I think they're called Comic Cafe or Comic Talk Cafe. And they had a few guys and a girl was on there, but I don't think she's on there yet. All right.
It's good to know we're filling a niche.
Yeah. The last one is from Miskatonic. And I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I always worry that I'm getting that name wrong. So, Miss Katonic, if you're listening and I'm saying it wrong, correct me. Anyway, it says, so my theory on star watching is, star by celebrities.
Yeah.
It's not any different from reading comics.
Oh, it so totally is. My gosh.
We all want those times that we can escape for a while. Some folks read multicolor funny books and pretend for a second that they are a part of a world wherein superheroes live. Others choose to fantasize about living in the world of stars because they certainly are not in our world. Much like wrestling and soap operas are the same thing with different target demographics.
I have to agree with that to a point. Except I don't think I ever actually want to pretend like I'm living in their world. I just want to know everything that they do that is worldly. You know, I like the pictures of, you know, celebrities shopping at the grocery store and looking at what's in their cart. And then, so maybe I am, because maybe I am living vicariously because it's like, oh, I use that same kind of toilet paper.
I understand that because to a certain extent, when you look at a picture of, you know, Madonna walking her dog or picking up a, you know, whatever at the grocery store, it humanizes them. So I can understand that.
Because they aren't of this world. And it's kind of nice to have something that shows that they are.
Yeah.
Anywho. Yeah. Similar and not similar. Dissimilar.
That always reminds me of a story that my friend Paul told me a long time ago. He had this friend who, and I can't remember his name, before Paul moved to Kansas, he lived in Iowa. And when he was a kid, he had this friend that came over and they're going to go fishing. And the kid told him, you know, Paul, looking at their fishing rods, our fishing rods are exactly the same except for one thing. They're different.
That's right. It's the same, but different. What's the name of that lake you grew up near? Lake
Okoboji. I think
is
that's
that right?
I think that's the name, Lake Okoboji. Something like that.
That's pretty cool. All right. Anywho, that's about it.
Paul doesn't listen to the show.
Like there was, of course not.
He has no
Your
excuse.
Best friend for life. And
he has no excuse.
No. Well, he's a very busy guy.
The guy spends a lot of time in his little room playing his guitar and, you know,
doing
surfing the internet and playing his video games. There's no reason why he can't listen to the show while he's doing that.
He just doesn't love you. We named our child after him.
I know. I'm going to put him in a headlock.
Oh, wow. Simon's middle name.
Yes.
Second middle name.
Yes. Simon Robert Paul.
Simon Robert Paul.
Okay. So I guess we can wrap up the episode unless you have anything.
Something came to mind, but now it's gone again. Okay. So fiddle-dee-dee on that, I suppose.
Well, before we end, I want to make mention that Derek Coward over Comic Book Noise has been doing a for the past couple episodes, he's been doing spotlights on other comic book podcasts. And playing, you know, clips from these podcasts. And in an upcoming episode, episode number 76, one of the podcasts he's going to be talking about and playing a clip from is ours.
No way.
Yeah.
So I'm nervous now.
Watch for episode 76.
No,
I'm really interested to hear what clips he puts in.
Yeah.
You know, if he's going to go for one of the older episodes before you were on
yeah.
or, you know, I'm interested to see what he
nervous.
Puts
up there. That's weird. Ew.
It won't be.
I don't actually think about people listening.
He usually, I know the
it's
last couple that he's done.
Here
yeah,
the in last the world famous living room.
The last couple that he's done, he did like some, like I think they're like 1 minute to 2 minute clips. So.
Neat.
And from what it sounds from listening to his episodes,
we're
ultimately
gonna be famous.
Yeah, you know, ultimately he just listens to some episodes, and if he hears something that he's like, oh, I like that, then that's what he puts in.
We should
clip.
Do something similar.
Yeah. Well, I did have for a while the comic book podcast spotlight where I spotlighted some podcasts.
You should do. There's a lot of things that you used to do that you don't do anymore that I think we need to get back on track. You
I
know,
agree.
You haven't had, you didn't have a commercial this week.
No.
Missed that.
Well, and again,
I miss Norman and Gary. And I know you're a very busy fella. Your hours now are different. And
it's not just the hours. It's the job itself.
Oh, that's true. Because you don't have.
My previous
job. You actually
job,
have to work.
Well, my previous job, when I worked hard.
Yes.
But there were
downtimes.
Yeah. Downtimes where I could sit in front of that computer and write out a whole episode. And I just, you know, most of the older episodes were 99% scripted.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't have a lot
you
of.
You did that during your work hours.
It's not like I don't have time to do it at home. But frankly, once I get home,
once we
get the kids fed, get them in their jammies, get them in bed, I just want to veg.
Yeah. We really do.
Yeah,
it's bad. We really shouldn't as much as we do. But
and if I have time to do anything, it should be going out and taking a walk around the block.
Yeah.
Because. Yeah. I lost 6 pounds.
Or cleaning out the gutters or actual things that other people do around their houses so that, you know, we're just lazy, lazy, lazy.
So I went on my diet in February.
Yeah.
Lost 6 pounds in February.
Yeah, you did.
Gained 3 pounds back in March.
Well, we got our tax return.
Well, and
you know,
I blame it all on Easter.
Well, no, it was, I mean, you get your tax return 4 pizza nights in a row.
That's
I mean,
right.
that's
You're
a real
out.
Treat, you know? We've had more fast food and subs and we've been enjoying the entertainment of eating. We've been enjoying the the love of good food that we don't have to cook or clean up.
And as far as writing something, you know, it was always so much easier to do it at work because nobody was there to bother me. And when it's just after the kids are in bed and it's just you and I, that's even if all we do is just sit on the couch and watch TV, it's our time. And it's hard for me to sit in front of the computer and just kind of close you off, you know?
Well, that's when I need to go take a bath.
Well, even on those nights, you know, you go and you take your bubble bath. I'm thinking I could do some writing. But then I also think I've got 4 episodes of Quantum Leap that I haven't watched
yet. Yeah, something that she wouldn't want to watch so much. Such a trade-off. Well, someday the kids will be older and we'll wish we had something to do. So
I want to remind everyone to send in their list of top 10 comic book movies. We'll be talking about that next episode, episode 35. I've gotten
35.
Yes, I've gotten one list. Thank you, DeFixer.
Love DeFixer.
He didn't comment about last episode.
Are you out there?
DeFixer.
Hello.
I've been trying to squeeze in his episodes of DeFixer's Hideout. I feel so bad because I think they're up to maybe episode 6, and I don't have as much time to listen to podcasts anymore. And I'm trying, bud.
You really should.
I'm trying. I like what I've heard thus far, but I'm not caught up, and I want to be. So patience.
Have you downloaded them at least even?
I've got the first 4 episodes on my iPod.
Okay.
So.
Well, I'll listen to him.
All right. You have until, we'll say, next Tuesday, which is...
If he says something nice about me on his podcast, I'll listen to him. Throw something out there. Throw me some love. Okay, air.
I was looking at the calendar. Next Tuesday, the 24th, you have until the 24th of April at, we'll say, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time to get your list in for top 10 comic book movies, and we'll talk about it on episode 35. If you want to email the show, justanotherfanboy@gmail.com. You can visit our forums at cgspodcast.com/forum2. It's a number 2. You can also find that on the justanotherfanboy.com website by clicking the link that says My Message Board. We are also a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network at comicspodcasts.com. I cannot say this enough that is a great resource for comic book podcasts. If you're looking for other comic book podcasts to listen to and you haven't stopped over at that site, do it, because there's some great ones over there. You can also find us over at Comic Space at comicspace.com/just_another_fanboy. Though I didn't even send anything out for last week's episode, so I rarely go over there. So that might be a waste of your time.
Okay.
Submit an iTunes review.
You're so honest. I love that about you.
Well, I just don't understand those places. That's why I don't have a MySpace page. I don't understand the real purpose. I suppose if I spent a majority of my time on the internet, I guess I could understand. I don't know. I just don't understand those places.
I'm not. Me either.
Submit an iTunes review at iTunes. We like to see those, and those help promote the show. You can call the Just Another Fanboy voice line at 1-877-309-8367, extension 212, and let's hear your voice.
Yes, please.
Give us a holla.
Tell us how much you like eggs.
That's right, because we haven't heard that in a while.
No, we haven't.
And frankly, I'm feeling like the love of the eggs is not happening anymore.
I know. So. I know.
Or you can just call up and say bacon.
Oh, bacon grease.
Yeah.
Or, you know, say something productive even.
So they can just call up and say productive even. Click.
Sure.
All right. So the theme song for the show is Comic Book by the Super Spies. Find it and information about the band at garageband.com. The rest of the music from the show comes from the Podsafe Music Network at music.podshow.com.
Very good, baby.
All right. Anything else you want to?
Like I said, I had something and it flew out of my little pea brain.
Last week when we were ending the show and I was like, there's something I wanted to say.
Oh,
I couldn't remember what it was. It was the top 10 comic book movies.
Okay.
And I almost forgot it again this week.
Almost. You didn't.
I scrawled it in there.
Very good.
Stuck it right in there at the
end. Cool, baby.
You know, hey, email us, call us. You know, if you got any ideas to make the show even better now that I'm on. Well, I'm not officially on Skype yet, but I will soon in the next few days be putting together a Skype name. So if you're on Skype and maybe you want to come on the show, get an idea, you know, what you want to talk about, shoot us an email. Meet me over at the boards. I'm over there posting
to Steven. Why shouldn't it be you?
Yeah.
Why shouldn't it be you?
I'd like to have, you know, some other people on the show. That'd be kind of fun.
That would be fantastic. Yeah. I could take a night off.
Oh, I do want to mention Planet. The
snarky.
Planet Comic Con.
Snarky. Oh, yeah.
I'm probably not going to go.
Why?
Well, There's a couple reasons.
Okay.
I was going to go with Craig.
Right.
A friend of mine from work. He's not going now.
Okay.
He's decided that he can't afford to spend the money to go.
Yeah.
And he'd rather spend the day. Because that Saturday is also free comic book day.
Oh.
So he's going to spend that Saturday in Kansas City hitting all the comic book shops and loading up on free comics, which I'm going to give him a list of stuff to pick up for me.
Cool.
But there's that reason. And at this point, I don't know if I can really afford to burn a vacation day.
Yeah.
You know, A, I don't want to go by myself. B, I don't know if I can afford to burn a vacation day. And C, I think it's what, like $12 or $15 to get in.
I didn't know it wasn't just like free to get in.
Oh, no.
What do you know?
You have to pay to get in.
Okay.
That's how they make their money.
Well, they made their money once you got in.
No, because it's there are other independent sellers there that sell comic books. None of the people that put the convention on don't make any money off the comic book sales. They make their money off of
the door.
Sales. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
well,
but they're
too bad, baby.
I wanted to go primarily. Well, I wanted primarily to go just so I could meet Matt Fraction and Phil Hester.
Yeah.
You know, I don't necessarily need to have them sign anything. I just wanted to meet them. And maybe try to pimp out the podcast, but I don't have anything to hand out. I don't have flyers. I don't have business cards or anything. And you know me, I'm not good at that. I'm not good at just going up to a complete stranger and say, hey.
No, you're not. You're great in front of the microphone, but you're bad in real life with people. You're very shy.
Yeah.
It's not easy for you just to go up to somebody you don't know.
Most people who know me, you know, like people I work with, you know, it usually takes me at least 2 weeks to warm up to somebody new.
Oh, yeah.
And so all through training at work in December, I'm just this quiet guy sitting behind a table. 2 weeks later, I'm bloppity bloopity.
You have to be comfortable.
Doing my, all right, it's great. And I don't know if I can do that. And there's like, oh, what's the heck? What, you were not like this 2 weeks ago. What are you smoking, my friend?
Yeah,
you know, and that's just
come
the way
out of your shell.
Yeah, it's just the way I am, brother.
That's just the way you roll. That's my new thing. I like to say that.
So I guess that's all we got.
That's all we've got.
All right. So until next week, I'm Steven.
And I'm Karen.
And I'm just another fanboy.
And I got nothing to say.
Can I just say word, yo?
If you really must.
Word, yo.
Bye-bye, Daddy.
Bye-bye, Daddy.
Good job.